Reminder, we're not hitting every verse of Mark as we did with Matthew. We're taking a few things that Mark has made note of that Matthew had not done. And again, this is this little phrase here, this little one verse here we're looking for is not in any of the other Gospels. It's Mark chapter 15, and of course, they brought Jesus before Pilate, and Pilate looked at him and said, "Well, you know," and said, "There's nothing wrong with this guy," so he said, "Well, maybe they'll let him go." So he offers them to let somebody go, but they decide to leave Barabbas go instead, so then they take Jesus through quite a torment, if you will. Mark 15:15 says, "And so Pilate, willing to content the people." Talk about a politician, trying to make everybody happy and end up making nobody happy. But anyway, so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him. And of course, the scourge, history tells us, cat of nine tails, a whip with nine pieces of leather with bone and pottery and other matter embedded in those strips of leather that would grab a hold of the body so when it hit, they pull it back, and again, you've heard me say many often, they said they could tear a man in half with that. So they scourged him, and when they had scourged him, he delivered him to be crucified. Crucified is literally the word means to impale, but it means to put, that's when they put him on the cross, they would nail him to the cross. Sometimes the crosses were not always the same. We always see the straight lines such as we have back here. There were some where they nailed them up like this. There were some other things that they did. It literally means to impale on a post. Verse 16, and the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. Now, there's different discussions of how many that is, but we're talking probably hundreds of men in there. And these men, these soldiers, it says they clothed him with purple, Jesus. They clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. Now what they were doing, of course, was mocking him. So they put a piece of purple on, which was a symbol of royalty. And then, of course, a crown would be a symbol of royalty, but they did it out of thorns. And of course, a little later, it talks about how they hit him on the head a little bit after that, which would have driven those thorns into his scalp. And so they crowned him with thorns. Verse 18, it says, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Now, there's this, what they're doing is making fun of that. Now, of course, you know, he claimed to be the King of the Jews. And, of course, he said so to Pilate. And he says, "Are you a Pilate?" "Well, you say so." He didn't deny that he was king of the Jews. And he said, but his kingdom was not here. And it says, and they smote him on the head with a reed. There we go. And to spit upon him, bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, that's what they were doing. They were mocking him. They took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him. And led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon of Cyrenian, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Now, Alexander and Rufus, or any time they're mentioned, is here, except there's one other time when each of them are somebody by Alexander, not Alexander the coppersmith, but another Alexander, and another Rufus, which makes it sound like they kind of got on board over the years, and so he is mentioned there. And my guess is the reason Mark mentioned it because people would know who early, at least in that time, would know who those two men were. So it's the father of Alexander Rufus to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. Of course, that was a fulfillment of a prophecy. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription, in other words, the writing above him, the superscription of his accusation, was written over the King of the Jews. It was his title, if you will. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, watch this is our verse, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Let me say that again. Verse 27, when they crucified with him, they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand, the other on his left hand. In other words, they put him right in the middle of these guys. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered, counted, measured to be, esteemed as the same as transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Let's pray. And I've spoken on this topic before, but the Lord puts it in here so many times. And I feel like since this was, you know, we're going to do this verse, it wasn't in the other ones. I think it's there. I think we need to spend a few moments on it. And that's what we'll talk about, a sign of greatness. A sign of greatness. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And again, Lord, we are so easily puffed up. We so easily make ourselves out to be more than we are. Too good to condescend. Too good to lower ourselves to be with others. Lord, we're so easy to be proud and full of ourselves. And yet, Lord, the greatest are those who are like you. And there was anyone more humble than you. So, Lord, I pray that you help us understand your word here this evening. Speak to our hearts. And though we've heard this basic thought many times, maybe that somehow this evening would be what it take for us to humble ourselves before you really, truly be used of you in a great way. So, Lord, I pray that you work, and we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Mankind has such a skewed view of the truth that often what we see as weakness is actually strength. What we see as strength is oftentimes weakness. What we see as a loss very well may be a gain. What we see as defeat is actually victory. And what we see as humiliation is actually greatness. Mark, who represents Jesus as the servant, is the only gospel that includes this thought here in verse 28. This reference, and it reminds us of this sign of the Messiah. Because you see, they said when the Messiah would come, he would be numbered amongst the transgressors. See, most men would not be willing to do that. Most men want to conquer by pushing ourselves forward, lifting ourselves up, telling everybody how wonderful we are and how bad the other guy is. You hear that on Monday night? We're spending our time telling everybody how bad the other guy, how worthless they are, and how wonderful we are. Only Mark mentions that Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. Let me give you number one, a worldly sign of greatness. A worldly sign of greatness. Now, Pilate and the soldiers, and then we also have the Jewish leaders, all kind of backhandedly use this principle. You see, man's declaration of admiration, that's what we see as greatness. Well, everybody thinks I'm wonderful. Dr. Lee Robertson, the pastor of Highland Park Baptist Church years ago, he said, make no decision based on praise or criticism. He said, make no decision based on praise or criticism. Base it on the truth. Base it on absolutes. Because, well, they really think I'm great. I must be pretty great. Chances are we're just buffed up. In fact, I found that having been up front for ever since I was a little kid, I mean, I started singing in churches when I was 12, and I sang my first solo when I was 4. But the fact is, when I sang the solo when I was 4, you would have thought, I mean, the way they treated me, you would have thought I just sang, you know, an aria at the Carnegie Hall. What they were saying for a little boy, you didn't stink. Doesn't mean it was great, just mean for a little boy, you didn't stink. And in fact, I found over the years, when I go and I try and I don't do very well, people, oh, bless your heart. Boy, it was just great. It was good. Oh, it was good. You know, and then when I know I really did well, they didn't say a whole lot. And so you can't necessarily go on praise or criticism. Just because you say the truth does not mean that you didn't do right when they don't like to hear the truth. And so you don't make praise on it. But anyway, Mark 15:25 says, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. That means they put him on the cross and lifted the cross up. And the superscription, the title, if you will, of accusation, what they accused him, what was written over him, was the King of the Jews. Now, the sign of greatness that was actually the true sign of greatness was not his title as King of the Jews. We're going to find out. Well, listen, men love the laud and admiration of society. Men love having their place and their position and in society validated. And of course, we don't, you know, this is the truth. Every one of us is this paradox, we are both proud and insecure at the same time. It's the craziest thing. They're not going to treat me like this. You know why you can't handle that? Because you're not sure whether they're right or not. I taught in public school for a while, years ago. And the fact is, I had no backup from the office. You know, I took a couple kids down early, and it was like, you mean he stood there and looked and pointed his finger right in your nose and told you off? Yeah, and that's all he did? Well, count yourself lucky. I told our teachers in our school here, I said we got your back. All right? They don't have to, I mean, and you know when you feel like you have no authority, I tell you what, you get frustrated, you get threatened, and all of a sudden you get loud and you get boisterous, and you know, they don't have, the fact is, they don't do that. Kids give a hard time, send them to me if they have to. Send them to Brother Jaggard. And that's exactly what happens sometimes. We don't have any authority, we don't have any power, so we get full of ourselves, and we've got this paradox going on. Now, Jesus was being counted among, watch it, the authority and the royalty of the leaders, and I'm sorry, among the authority and the royalty, and the leaders refused to recognize it. I gave you that scripture. I didn't get one of mine. You have the whole thing written there, John 19? No? Yeah, okay, look at it with me. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. This is Pilate. And they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into the place they called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate, watch this, Pilate wrote a title, a placard, and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title, then, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." The fact is, I think Pilate knew that there was something special about Christ. And in order to content the people, he says, let's go. I'm going to wash my hands of this. I don't have anything to do with this. But he did. He made the decree. And he was actually honest when he wrote up there, the king of the Jews. Now, the fact is that Pilate agreed with Jesus that he was the king of the Jews didn't mean a thing to Jesus. It didn't make it any more true. The fact that the Jews, the elders, the priests, the scribes, didn't want that up there. They wanted him to be accused because he claimed he was king of the Jews, and obviously he wasn't. They were upset because he was given that title. They wouldn't have nothing to do with it. They wanted to mock him. They wanted to destroy the thought. But the fact is that they didn't believe that he was king of the Jews. Didn't make him any less the king of the Jews. So man's laud, man's admiration does not make somebody great. It makes us no more and no less than what we truly are. Man is impressed with titles, whether the titles are true or not. And we like being labeled important. And it seems that it is more important for us to have the appearance of importance and the appearance of fame before others more than actually having the importance. It's important for us to feel important, to be seen as important, whether it's the truth or not. Being slapped on the back and lauded by man is not greatness. Nobody was more ignored for of his greatness than Jesus Christ, and yet no one was ever greater than Jesus Christ. The Jewish rulers did not want anyone to think that Jesus had authority and honor. Anyone can have a title and be given human honor. I understand that. But the rulers didn't recognize that no matter what man says about another man. God knows the truth. So admiration from man, a worldly sign, this is not a sign of greatness. This worldly sign. Number two, I want you to see a godly sign of greatness. Now they plastered a sign above Jesus and basically said he's great. And yet the people denied it. But it wasn't the sign that made Christ great. Number two, God's a godly sign of greatness. God's assessment of us to be trustworthy enough, watch, to be tried or tested for his sake. That's a sign of greatness. Let me say that again. When God has an assessment of you that says you are trustworthy enough to be tested of your faith, that's a sign of greatness. The greatest man of all the East, Job, was tested more than any of us than we ever think about, than any we've ever gone through. And why was he tested? Because he was a man of faith. He lived righteously, eschewed evil. God says to Job, to Satan, "Have you considered my servant, Job?" Now, Job was great in his wealth. Apparently, he was great in his walk with God. He was great in all the things he had and seemed to be wise and so forth. But do you know what was really great that God saw about Job was great? Was his worthiness to be tried. and be found faithful. To go through the fire and come out the other side as gold. A sign of greatness is when God assesses us to be trustworthy enough to be tried for His sake. Letter A there. The sign of greatness in Christ was His willingness to be numbered with the transgressors, even though He was King of the Jews. You see what I'm saying there? The sign of His greatness was His willingness to be numbered with the transgressors. You know the song, He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set Him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but He died alone for you and me. That's a sign of greatness in God's assessment. The sign of greatness, He was willing to be numbered with the transgressors. He was accounted among the lawbreakers. Not that He was a lawbreaker. Verse 27, it says, and with Him they crucified two thieves, the one on His right hand and the other on His left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and He was numbered with the transgressors. Numbered. He was counted as the same, estimated to be equal with, esteemed to be of the same worth and value. But watch this. Why did He do that? Because the Lord had laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And as God's love transcends all things, He was willing to be numbered with the transgressors so that He could die for the transgressors. He was willing to be numbered with the transgressors even though one of those transgressors on the cross mocked Him. But as they mocked Him, in fact, one of the guys we're talking about, they both kind of mocked Him at first. And finally, the one says, man, don't we fear God? This man's done anything. We deserve what we're getting here. He says, Lord, remember me when You're coming to Your kingdom. And He says, verily, today Thou shalt be with Me in paradise. But that would not have been, he could not have promised that man, that transgressor, paradise if he had not been willing to be numbered with the transgressor. He had to be made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Christ. Jesus was willing to be seen, watch, as an equal with the lowly. Jesus was willing to be counted as common, though He was King of the Jews. Pilate called Him what He was, but that wasn't what made Him great. What made Him great? But when He was willing to be numbered with the transgressors. Jesus was brought low. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Hold your place in Mark there. Would you turn to Isaiah? You know this passage. Isaiah 53. We'll look at it with me. Isaiah 53, Old Testament there. Foretelling the death of Jesus. Who hath believed our report? Who's going to believe this? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? God's going to show you His strength. The arm of the Lord. For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, and He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. And He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, disesteemed, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We said, look what God did. Look what God's doing. Oh, it must be wrong. Must be wrong. The same thing. When God, listen, when God calls on us to be made to look low, don't walk away. He's asking us to step up and do what Christ has done. And people may say, well, see, look, God's not with them. Don't go there. That's what old Job's buddy said. You must have really blew it. God's not with you, Job. They called on Jesus and they said, well, let's see if he'll save him. Others he saved. See if he'll come and save him now if he's the Son of God. Come on. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Oh, there's the transgressors. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death. But he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. In other words, God planned this, and he was willing to take it. He was found faithful. His greatness was shown. Look at verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide a spoil and the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered, there it is, with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. They knew, religious leaders knew, that this spoke of the Messiah. And yet blindly, they went back to their own human way of thinking. And a man who had done no evil, done nothing but good, but raised people from the dead and preached the Beatitudes and talk about the love of God, and yet they saw him numbered with the transgressors and didn't recognize his greatness. Even with the sign over top, they refused his presence. It is an honor to be counted among the transgressors. So what? Acts 5:41, Christ had already risen. They were preaching the gospel, and they got in trouble. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They suffered shame for preaching the name of Jesus. But it didn't stop them. That's what it said there. They didn't cease. They didn't stop. See, we would rather have the title of men over our head that says we're somebody special than have the title over our heart where God can see us and says he's faithful. Well, no one sees that. Oh, all the eyes that matter sees it. Number three, I want you to see this. I talked about it a little bit there. Greatness foretold. Greatness foretold. Being numbered with the transgression puts Jesus into the position as the Messiah. He is the Messiah. just that part, being willing to be numbered with the transgressors, puts him in position as Messiah. Listen, why did they have to mock him publicly and make such a fool and so forth? I'll tell you why. Because they were trying their best to discount him and make themselves feel like they knew what they were talking about. But in their heart, they knew. In their heart, they knew. It pricked their hearts. That's why they hated him so much. Because they knew it was true. Letter B. Humility is a mark of greatness. Humility is a mark of greatness. I'm much like most of the rest of our country. I'm trying to figure out the lesser of two evils. I'd rather take my chances with someone who's not sure what they're going to do than somebody that I know has full desire to do wrong. Just telling you. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just telling you, I'd rather take my chances with somebody like that than have somebody that I know wants to do wrong. The Messiah was foretold to be the one who would be willing to be counted among the transgressors, Isaiah 53:12. The Messiah was humble. He was like a lamb before his shears is dumb. See, they didn't understand what greatness is. This mentality is a godly mentality. That's one of the reasons why folks who believe in Calvinism, I have a problem with. Because they think, well, if God's sovereign, well, see, if I was sovereign, this is what I would do. That's why we're not sovereign. Good thing we're not sovereign. God is sovereign. And in his sovereignty, he says, I'll pay for your transgressions myself. I want you back. When Jesus hung on the cross, he was counted with the transgressors. Verse 29 says, and they that passed by railed on him. Mark 15:29. They passed by, railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. They defamed him. They railed. They taunted him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while he bore our sins. Now, wait a minute. He knew the title on the top was true. If we had hung on the cross and we'd been taunted like he was taunted, there's a good chance a lot of us say, wait a minute, pop, pop, pop. I'll show you who's boss. Huh? Comes the hawk. You don't like me when I get mad. Boom, pop, you're done. But that's not how he is. Because he's greater than we are. If he got off the cross, we'd still be dead in trespasses and sin. And the fact is, the plan of God would have been thwarted and Satan would have won. But Satan didn't win. And we do have salvation. Because of the greatness of our Savior. Not the sign on the post, but the sign of him hanging with the transgressors. He says, I'll just stick with these folks and we'll conquer death. The people had their chance to honor Jesus and they refused. Now watch this. Now we're going to see who Jesus really is. Look at Mark 15, 34. In the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's when the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our sin on him separated him from our Father, his heavenly Father. And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on the reed and gave it to him, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. I should have pulled this verse out, but in John it says, Having loved his disciples, he loved them to the end. That's greatness. Listen, he's crying out in pain, and they're still making fun of him. If it was one of us, okay, all right, I've had enough. That's it. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. Listen, these guys got to know who I am. And you know what? Sometimes we do the same thing. They don't realize I'm trying to give them the truth. How dare they mock me? I'm telling them about Jesus who loves. Listen, I'm telling you God loves you. What's the matter with you? Are you ignorant or something? And we think it's love. Because we're not willing to, wait a minute, be numbered with the transgressors. Oh, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Jesus is going to win more to himself by staying on the cross than getting off. And you know what? We're supposed to take up our cross, die to self, and follow him. A sign of greatness. Number four, proven greatness. Proven greatness. When Jesus was hung between the thieves, he was demonstrating his greatness. We've talked about that. Let me read some scriptures with you. Mark 15, 39. When the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly this man was the Son of God. What did he say? It is finished! Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. He died. You know what he said? You know what he saw? They didn't take his life. He gave it. He chose to do this. He wasn't overpowered. He's not the loser. He's not the weak one. You, listen, how many times have I told you, listen, sometimes it'd be a whole lot easier to wind up and poke somebody in the nose. It almost takes more strength to be willing to love them unto the end so that they may see Christ and he be lifted up. Number ourselves with the transgressors. Get down there where they are. Don't ride up here above everybody else. Realize that's where we are. And love them to the end. Matthew 23:11 says this, But he that is greatest among you, Jesus says, shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Matthew 20:25 says, But Jesus called unto them and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles, the world out here, worldly admiration, worldly greatness, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. There was no greater than Christ, but nobody gave more than Christ. You know the passage in Philippians 2:1. Let me read it for you. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, be any comfort, love, of any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. I'm going to work my way. I'm going to battle my way to the top. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know what that says? Be willing to be numbered with the transgressors, because that's where we are. Jesus wasn't, but he was willing to. We are, and we're not willing to. Look not every man on his own things. Don't puff yourself up. But every man also on the things of others. They got stuff to go going on too. Let this be mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He didn't go around and say, look at me, I'm great, I'm great, I'm great. Bow down, I'm great. Made himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't change topics there. He's saying, listen, you're saved. Live like it. You got the mind of Christ in you. Live like it. How's that? Be willing to humble yourself, not have the mind of somebody, I think, well, I'm great, not trying to prove everybody how great we are. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, even if you have to be numbered among the transgressors, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. How are they going to know that we're different in a crooked, perverse nation? By being different. The world says, here's what greatness is, and God says, no, here's what greatness is. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Watch me. If we're not willing to behave like Christ, we're not let Christ have his mind in us, and let's live like him, don't expect a lot of folks to listen to us when we tell them about Christ and who he is in our life. You're going to try to convince them that you got Christ in your life. Well, then they ought to be able to see it. Instead of walking around with a sign on your hat that says, I'm king, I'm king, I'm king. The sign of who we are is to be like Christ. That's all the sign you need. When I was about 9 or 10, I forget where we went someplace, and we never bought a lot of souvenirs. Mom didn't want to waste her money, but she had these great big buttons. And she told my sister and I we could each buy a button. And I don't know what her button said, but I'll tell you what mine said. It was a big red button that said, I'm the greatest. I said, well, it did. It said, I'm the greatest. And my sister, I knew that's the one you're going to pick. I thought it was funny. Really, honestly, because I looked at it, I thought of it as a joke, because I thought, well, obviously I'm not. So it's funny. Not everybody took it that way, but honest, that's really what I thought. I'm obviously not the greatest, so it's funny. Well, that's not what we need. The badge of honor, the sign of greatness, is that we're like Christ. Now watch that. Watch the last one, number 5. Greatness requires faith. Greatness requires faith. You know what Job said? in the middle of that, though the Lord slay me, yet will I not deny him. That's not the phrase. What's it? Yes, yet will I trust him. Yeah. There you go. Trust him. Trust. What's it saying? Doesn't make sense. I'm being numbered with the transgressions. That's not good. People are all going to think that I'm a bad guy. God knows all about it. I'll tell you what. We walk around telling everybody how great we are. They're going to assume we're a bad guy. I don't want to be around that guy. When I lead folks to the Lord, when I go to Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And one other thing, I always say this. That means there's not going to be anybody in heaven that can say, you know, I was so good, they had to let me in. And who wants to spend eternity with somebody like that anyway? That's my point. We're getting there by grace. We're numbered with the transgressors. In whose eyes do you want to be great? Do you want folks to walk around with a sign pointing you saying, he's great, she's great, the greatest? Sometimes we'll walk around with t-shirts as I'm with stupid. You know, if that's stupid, I must be great compared. So you know how it is. Or do you want to be great in the eyes of God? Now, true greatness requires faith and a willingness to trust God for the outcome. Jesus said, you know, I don't like this. In fact, Father, if it be your will, I'd just as soon not do this. But back your will better than my will. And so we're going to do this because I trust you, Father. Always do those things which you command me. Because I don't understand it, but all things still work together for good. I'm going to do, I don't know. Now for us, we don't know the outcome, except we know that we're supposed to do this. Trust God for the outcome. Three little points, I'm all done. In order to be great, we have to be willing to lower ourselves and take ourselves out of control of the circumstances, really. So it means we need to trust in the Word of God. Number one, trust in the Word of God. God will never leave you nor forsake us. He says that this mind be in you. If you will abase yourself, I will lift you up. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. That's true. He says it in Romans. He says it in Peter. If you resist the proud, he'll give you grace. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. That's the Word of God. So, along with that, trust in the principles of God. The principles of God. You humble yourself, you'll be exalted. So that you're looking to be exalted. No, I'm not looking to be exalted. I'm just looking to follow him. And if that means I got to humble myself, then I need to humble myself and leave the exalting and how high he exalts me to him. In fact, if you're looking for exaltation, chances are you won't see any. You stop looking for exaltation, then you start seeing it show up. But only as much as you can handle. Like, not a novice, lest you be puffed up. You know, knowledge puffs up sometimes. Paul had seen things that was unlawful for him to say that he had seen in heaven, and so he was given that thorn in the side to keep him humble. He said, I'd rather rejoice in my infirmities because I know it keeps me humble. And if it keeps me humble, that means I'm weak. And when I'm weak, I'm strong. So I'm going to stay as weak as I can. I want to stay as humble as I can. I want to realize I have nothing to offer really of any value except that what God does through me. And if I keep myself humble, then he can use me. Number three, trust in the promises of God. The principles of God, said, this is what he says to do. He said, well, I don't know. Well, but put it together with the promises of God. You obey the principles of God, and you can have faith that the promises are going to come. A sign of greatness, numbered with the transgressors. Not the one on top that says he's king of the Jews. It's not what we announce ourselves to be. is what we really are in our heart and live out. Father, thank you again for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for some time together with these dear folks. Lord, forgive us when we forget and look for greatness from other sources. May we rise up in the arms of faith, trust your promises, trust your word, follow the principles, that we simply may be your servant, and we'll leave all the exalting in your hands. Father, thank you for our folks. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to the feet. Piano's going to play. Go ahead and start.